So, Mikey, what's going on? Who's your favorite Star Wars character?
Obi-Wan.
Why is Obi-Wan your favorite character?
Because he turned Anakin into Darth Vader, and he's awesome.
He's awesome? And is that the only reason, because he's awesome? We didn't turn Anakin. He defeated Anakin to keep him from going to the dark side completely, but it failed.
Yes.
Yeah? Are you looking forward to Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Yes.
All right. Can you tell the people what they're listening to?
It's the Rebel Radio Podcast. Roar!
Everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zapsik from The Same, and you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
Force is strong in this one.
Alrighty then.
And it's another new episode of the Rebel Radio. This is your host, Mark, and with me are my Padawans,
Matt the Electric Monkey,
Frank the Biscuit.
We are hanging out in Studio 1138, Star Wars reference.
Oh,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, you know, see, in case you didn't get it. So we're moving the road to The Force Awakens. We are exactly, as we record this, 3 weeks away from the film being
released. 3 weeks, got my tickets,
and,
yes,
pumped. We've been doing a series of shows on the Rebel Radio Podcast, which you can find at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, along with the Warp Cave, where the Warp Cave and the Evil Dr. Tran is doing some commentaries and retrospectives and stuff. And we're doing our road with a look back at our favorite moments in the movies, our memories, our favorite collectibles. Last week we talked about the expanding universe. And this week we're going to count down, in a way, some of our favorite characters and some honorable mentions, so to speak, from the Star Wars saga. And when we talk Star Wars saga, that we're including all the canon, everything involved. And there's so many great characters in these films that George Lucas has created for us. It's really difficult making a list of your favorites, because there's like, I like things this guy did, I like things this girl did, and it's kind of hard.
It is. I mean, you look at your entire list and you're like, man, someone's going to say something about leaving out this guy, but you know, it's subjective, and you know,
right. And you know, one thing I noticed when making this list is you don't, sometimes we take the Star Wars saga for granted and how much we enjoy it, but how important every character is to the story. Even the prequels, as much as people don't like the prequels, Lucas did really think out the importance of every character. Every character plays a part, even Jar Jar Binks. And that's one great thing about Lucas's imagination. He never seems to have fluff characters. Like, and sometimes in the other universe, Star Trek, get characters like, why are they here? But in Star Wars, really a lot of characters are very important, so it's hard to make that list. Right, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, like, even characters that you might not know served a role or a purpose, that he actually, people go in there and actually give them, like, a background and the roles that they play. Like, just because you see them once on the screen doesn't mean that they didn't serve a purpose at some point. And then they actually expand on those characters.
Well, without referencing IG-88, I mean, IG-88 was made out of junk. So, I mean, where do we put him on the list?
Well, I mean, you've got bounty hunters in this universe. You've got droids. You've got just soldiers, TIE fighter pilots, stormtroopers, rebel soldiers that serve different purposes. And they've all brought in this galaxy far, far away to fight these Star Wars, so to speak. And you've got Hutts, you've got aliens of different kinds, and they've all played their part in the Star Wars universe.
That's right. It's hard to put, you know, find a place for Jabba the Hutt, because it's like, I mean, every character is important. I mean, you could put Boba Fett above Jabba the Hutt, even though Jabba the Hutt had way more lines than Boba Fett. You know, so.
But Boba Fett did serve a great purpose. I mean, Jabba the Hutt served a great purpose, because without his character, you wouldn't have had the whole development of the Han Solo storyline.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, if it wasn't for him wanting Han's head, basically.
Is that Jabba?
Yes, Jabba
I heard the it sounds like an Ewok.
We've got some baby noises in the background. It is the holiday season. We're recording this right after Thanksgiving.
With family.
So there are children in the house. So if you hear some audio background noise, you know, forgive us. You know, we're not professionals, especially Frank. I mean, Frank records in his underwear half the time.
I don't have any underwear.
Well, that's even worse. Okay, well, let's get into our favorite characters. We kind of were texting about the show. We kind of said do a top 10 list, which was very hard. I started thinking, man, maybe we should have done 20. So I came up with some honorable mentions. Do you have honorable mentions on your list?
I do have honorable mentions.
What are a few of your honorable mentions?
I'd say Lando and Qui-Gon Jinn. I did not have them in my top 10 because, you know, I felt like it was hard to squeeze them in here. But I figured, Lando's really important to Han's backstory, even though we don't see Han's backstory. It's kind of like an honorable mention to his backstory. And then, of course, Qui-Gon Jinn. You know, he's Obi-Wan's mentor. So, you have to give credit to Qui-Gon Jinn. And, you know, he took one in the gut from Darth Maul. And you gotta give him props for that.
Mine is Jango Fett.
Jango Fett.
Because without him, we would have had none of the original clone troopers.
That's true.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they might have cloned someone else, but yeah, that's true.
But, you know, they chose him.
And we wouldn't have had Boba Fett without
him. We would have had Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Or Captain Rex.
Maybe it would have been IG-88 taking Han to Jabba.
Oh, well, maybe.
I have a few honorable mentions. People might be surprised by this list of mine because I've got two extremely popular characters, three that aren't even in my top 10. That's how difficult this list
was.
Because
he's an idiot.
One is R2-D2.
Idiot.
Okay.
Darth Maul, who I... Okay. The reason I keep Darth Maul honorable mention and not in my top 10 is because Lucas should have kept him alive and fleshed him out more. He should have been, just like Darth Vader was the villain for the entire original trilogy, Darth Maul should have been that villain for the entire prequel trilogy. And the fact that he gets killed like a biatch a little early in the trilogy...
Kind of goes in the route
just
of...
Like, and I know they brought him back in Clone Wars, and I know it's canon, but I still refuse to believe that because he got cut in half. You don't come back.
Yeah.
You fell down a shaft.
And your intestines fall out.
Yes. You know, and a couple more of my... So, you know, Darth Maul, I know people are like, oh, he should be a top 10, but not for me. A couple more honorable mentions is... one is Padme Amidala. Without her, we don't have Leia and Luke. And she was a strong female character, and it was Natalie Portman. I mean, that alone, she gets on the list just for being hot. And lastly, it was Captain Rex from Star Wars and Clone Wars. Probably one of my favorite characters because you took what essentially was a soldier, just a clone, and he fleshed him out into being his own personality, his own character, and now he's back on Star Wars Rebels. And that was
cool
to see.
And technically, because of that, now we kind of have a cartoon version of how Boba Fett would look old.
In a sense, yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Did we ever know how Boba Fett looked young? I mean...
Yeah.
Jango. Yeah. That's right.
Because
you
know, Boba Fett was in the movies.
With a helmet on, though. He was in Mando armor.
He was in the kid.
So I assume you'll have a top 10 list.
Of course. Okay.
Who do you have at number 10, Matt, for your favorite all-time Star Wars characters?
Well, we just mentioned him. I had to give him the 10 spot, Darth Maul. And I do believe he got killed off early, but he was important in establishing how strong Obi-Wan Kenobi was as a Jedi Knight.
Good point.
I gave it to him on that basis. You know, you could leave him out because he's like right there. I think, you know, like you said, he could be in the top 10. He could be out right there at the 12 or 11 spot. But I like him. I like the guy. And it was a double-bladed lightsaber. I mean, we forget, you know, he came out there with a single blade. And then all of a sudden he's fighting two Jedi Knights, and then that second lightsaber comes out, and where you're just like, whoa, there's two lightsabers.
And that was a very cool. It's still a very cool moment in the Star Wars trilogy.
Yes.
Or Star Wars Saga.
Saga.
Frank, you're number 10.
Well, some could have said he was an honorable mention, but he doesn't play a long time role in the movie, but he plays a very important role, because without his major malfunction, none of this would have ever gone anywhere. It's R5-D4.
Because he malfunctions, Luke picks R2 and
D4. Exactly. If he didn't malfunction, it would have been gone nowhere. R2, with the message from Leia, would have went somewhere else, and Luke would have never became a Jedi.
It could have been Biggs could have been the Jedi.
No. Biggs is not a Jedi. but it would have went off somewhere else, and none of this would have gone anywhere.
I mean, is the rest of our list even worth it? He has the most important character in the Star Wars saga.
That is the most important. It's not without his malfunction.
That is out of left five philosophical.
Well, my number 10 seems kind of unimportant at this point, and that's Princess Leia.
She's very important.
Obviously the strongest female character in the Star Wars saga. Without Leia, we don't have a rebellion. It's that simple. Now, we're going to snake draft this, sort of like we're doing our fantasy draft, and I'll start with my number 9, and we'll go... I have Qui-Gon Jinn at number 9. First of all, I love Liam Neeson. And what I like about Qui-Gon was the first time... You never thought about this when seeing the prequels, because the only Jedi we had was a Jedi in training, Luke, and we had an old guy, Obi-Wan.
Right.
Qui-Gon was the first guy we got to see be a Jedi and do what he did. You know, helping people, following the Jedi code... Finding this boy, training Obi-Wan, he was the first we got to see, other than in comics and stuff. But he was the first live action we got to see, and that's why Qui-Gon's at my number 9. Frank?
Well, I'm giving love to another droid, and that's Chopper, because he's just a sassy little robot android that is fun to watch. He makes you laugh when you watch
him. And we will talk more about him in a little bit when we talk about Rebels. This last episode was hilarious
because of him.
Yes.
Matt?
Number 9? I have Chewbacca.
I can't do it.
He provides the comical relief that you need in this movie to make it not all just about lightsabers and blasters and hokey religions. So,
and he's badass.
He is, man. Yeah. I mean, he's the Wookiee. There isn't a day that goes by that someone doesn't make a reference of.
You can do it better than me.
If you play chess, let the Wookiee win.
Exactly. That's right. So at number 8, Matt, stay with you.
I kind of pair them together, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's perfectly...
And he's a religious figure of the Ewoks, so I had to put him in there. He's up there now. He kind of links the prequels and the originals together. And, of course, R2-D2, shooting a lightsaber out, hacking. You're making sure our guys don't get squashed in a compactor.
And R2... talks back like a boss.
He does.
Yes.
He's a smart ass in a good way.
Yeah.
He is the most fouled mouth character in all of Star Wars. Every line is beat.
And another comical relief.
Exactly.
Your number 8, Frank?
Luke Skywalker. Without the dream.
Surprisingly a little lower in the list than I would expect him, but.
Well, because everybody would just expect him to be at the top. But without him, again, another character, it would have gone nowhere. But the hopes and dreams of a young boy who had more than just working
on a farm.
Basically a dirt farm, if anything, if you actually look at it. But, yeah, I mean, he was curious. He seeked out and wanted to learn what this message was about.
Never quite got those power conversions.
And without that curiosity, again, all of this would have gone nowhere.
Okay, well, my number 8, I have 3 animated characters in my top 10, and I think this, we'll talk a little more later about Rebels. It shows the power of Dave Filoni, and as a producer, what he's brought to the Star Wars saga with the Clone Wars and now Rebels. And I have Ahsoka Tano at number 8. In just a short time, she's become such a powerful and important character to the Star Wars universe, being Anakin's Padawan in Clone Wars, and now helping out the Rebellion in Star Wars Rebels. And she's scrappy, she's fun, she kind of talks back to Anakin just like Anakin did to Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And you almost wish you could see a live-action version of her at some point, and Ahsoka has just become... You feel like she's a live-action part of the Star Wars universe, even though she's animated, and she's only been around since, 2000 and...
She's very organic.
8 or so, whenever... Yeah. Clone Wars came out, you feel like she's been around forever. And I had Ahsoka at number 8. And sticking with animated, as we rotate, at number 7, I have Kanan and Jarrus from Star Wars Rebels. Again, a character in a short time, only 16 episodes or so, you just feel like he's such an important part of the universe. Surviving Order 66, and now you get to kind of see what Qui-Gon went through training a stubborn Obi-Wan or Yoda, a stubborn Luke. He has his own stubborn student in Ezra, and dealing with... He's not perfect. He never was able to become a Jedi Knight or anything like that because he stopped training because of the Order 66. He had to be in hiding. But he's doing his best to train Ezra and learning his own as he goes also. And that's why I put Kanan at number 7. Rank at number 7.
Yoda. very important character again to me. Because
and I can't believe I didn't mention him in my honorable mentions.
Because basically he trains Luke. He puts his wisdom on Luke, which
sends him on his path.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If Yoda was not there, Luke wouldn't have had the strength to take on Darth Vader and the Emperor.
He rose the X-Wing, man. I mean, he showed what the Force could do.
And he had so much wisdom and...
Another great moment in the saga. Okay.
Yeah. You know? And come on. For a character that was so short, again, in his part in the movies, when he died, you kind of felt something. You know, for a character that wasn't, like, there for a lot on the screen.
And he gave us a line that... most men probably use in the bathroom, or in the bedroom.
Just made by my size, do you?
Or do or do not. There is no trick.
Yeah. I guess you could use both of those lines. Matt, yours?
Number 7. And I keep this character separate from his character that we reference him as, and that's Anakin Skywalker. He was, I mean, the prophecy, the pod racer, the person that wanted to save his mother, you know, Padme, and his mother wanted to keep people from dying, and it you know, that was, you know,
first off, what's a Padme?
Padamame. Panda bear.
I just order what a Padme. It's Padme. I mean,
yeah. Amidala, Mrs. Amidala. But yeah, I mean, and he it was important to know who Vader was before he was Vader and why he fell.
Okay. And that.
And Anakin gives us that.
And number. As we move on, that was our number 7. Is that number 6?
Number 6 is Yoda. You know, he was. It's hard to keep him out of the top 5, but I got him right there. Number 6, right in the middle of my top 10. We just talked about all those reasons.
Yeah, actually, I'm feeling, being the Star Wars guru that I am, I left Yoda off. I guess it didn't strike me. I forgot, and he should have been on here. But you know,
it's hey,
you know, it's very difficult. Like I said, to make this list,
it is. I mean, you know? we can all shoot. You know, you left this person off your list. You know, you left Rex.
One of the most important characters off of his list. Well, he didn't leave it off his list. He just put it in a place that they should not be. But as we move on, are you done with your number 6?
I am done. I'm done.
Okay, my number 6 is Lando Calrissian. It's obvious.
Billy D.
The amount of parts that this character plays starting in Empire Strikes Back. Oh my gosh. First, he welcomes them into his place. Mm-hmm. Then he portrays them, or betrays them, to Vader. Then he turns around, rescues Han Solo, and then destroys the second Death Star. He's just one smooth character. He's like the baddest, smoothest brother in all of Star Wars.
He is.
Mark, your number 6?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
I know he's probably a little bit higher on some people's list.
Yeah.
And I kind of put him with Boba Fett, in that I like Darth, but I guess over the years he's a little overrated and I get a little tired of him. And I think they wussified him a little bit now that I know that this little kid Anakin became Darth Vader. I think I like Darth Vader before the prequels more. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Cool.
I throw that cannon out the window.
Well, but you can't. And if if it wasn't Hayden Christian and someone who acted better, and I truly believed he was this innocent kid who became evil, you know, I would have maybe. But I just feel that Hayden Christian's portrayal of Anakin wussified Darth Vader a little bit for me. Just a little bit.
Yeah, he seemed like that kind of, you know, scrawny teenager.
If I had made this list 10 years ago before the prequels came out, I probably had Vader higher. You know, and that's just me. At number 5, I have Lando. I struggled with that. I thought I kind of had Lando behind Vader, and I was like, yeah, so I could flip-flop those. And Lando, for a lot of the same reasons Frank said, he helps destroy the Death Star, and he's a pimp daddy.
That's right.
You know, you truly belong among us in the clouds, you know? It's Lando. Frank, your number 5.
Princess Leia.
No way.
Yes.
Frank always put his hair in buns when he was a kid.
Is a very, very strong character in this. I mean, even in the first one, she wasn't a wuss. She stood up to Vader.
That's right.
Even when he was like threatening her and he was like, and everything at her, she didn't care. You know? And then from there on, she was the face of the rebellion to me. Out of all the characters, she was the face of the rebellion. She was the leader of the rebellion. So that's why I might even have had her higher than that, but I figured right down the middle, holding everything together, was her.
And number five for you, Matt?
The same. Princess Leia. This is awkward. Same reasons. Plus, episode 6, gold bikini. She, you know, and she was in, she was dressed
even though she
in
was
a guardian
high as hell while filming most of that.
Yeah, who cares? She choked a giant slug.
Yeah, she did. She was choked.
Any woman who could choke a giant slug.
It's very awkward and scene became, to watch, but yeah.
Wait a minute, I felt a little weird here, like I need to back away from Frank.
I just want to say,
moving on, we're getting into our final top four here. Matt, you're number four.
Han Solo. I have him right there. I'm more favorable to Jedis and Force users, but, you know, if there was a man with a blaster to have in this top four, it's him. It's, you know, Hokey Religions and Ancient Blasters. He was the scoundrel. You had to have him in there. He provided that different element. And you know what? He wasn't even supposed to be in the movie. He was handed a script. Hey, read these lines. And he became an actor.
And I'm starting to realize what name that I didn't put on my list that Frank's going to say. But anyway, and you're number four, Frank.
My number four. Again, giving droids the love. R2-D2. The original sassy android. I mean, you think about it. If he just listened to C-3PO, that they would have gone this direction. They wouldn't have gotten caught
by the Jawas.
And again, the whole storyline wouldn't have went anywhere because they would have went somewhere else. They would have never gotten to Luke, and there would have been no Return of the Jedi. You know, so yeah. And you just throughout the whole thing, you know. And then he makes sweet love to the Death Star, and then they create that new robot that's in the new movie.
All right.
Well, number four, I have Ezra Bridger, which I know he's a new character, and I'm starting to realize that I threw my list together and what I'm currently feeling about Star Wars, and I am the host of the show, but even sometimes I rush on things. I threw this list together right before the show started. So maybe I didn't think about some things as much. Maybe I shouldn't have had Ezra this high, but I like Ezra. I like where they're going with him.
Too.
I'm curious to see where Star Wars Rebels goes in the future with this young boy learning the ways of the Force through Kanan, and I've really connected with him. And I love watching him through my son, Michael, who loves Ezra and Kanan, and I think that makes it exciting for me.
He's going to be the Sith Lord in the new movie.
Nah. And at number three, as we rotate, I have Chewbacca. Always loved Chewbacca. I've met Peter Mayhew a few times. Super nice guy. And, you know, Chewie is like kind of the glue that holds things together. You know, in a way, he makes sure that Han does what he needs to do. He's always there to protect Han and Luke and Leia and whoever. It's kind of like that bodyguard best friend that you want, you know, and he's a Wookiee. And not a bear, as someone at work tried to say the other day. He's a bear. He's it's a Wookiee. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Did I see him in a beef jerky commercial, Sasquatch?
That's not a Wookiee. That's a Sasquatch. Gotcha. And you're number three, Frank.
Same as you, Chewbacca. For mine, because of the canon that they threw out the window, because of his loyalty to Han Solo as a friend and so much more. If you knew the old canon, you can understand the bond and why he sticks behind Han Solo so much and why he's there for him. And it's like, it's not, you're just my co-pilot. It's like a family situation with those two if you go with the old canon. So, yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, you don't mess with a Wookiee.
That's right.
You're Matt? Number three, Matt.
Luke Skywalker, number three. He was the reason Vader turned back. You know, they always
for
said that
5 minutes.
If Vader had kids, they would be, you know, the end of them. And, you know, he turned Vader back into Anakin. He brought, you know, he helped bring balance back to the Force. And where would we be without Luke Skywalker?
Probably not sitting here.
Exactly.
Nope.
Nothing would be here. Nothing. Seriously.
Trust me, Jedi.com would not exist.
There would be no Jedi.
Number two, Matt.
Number two, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Old Ben.
Which is the name I already know Frank's going to say. You left off Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You mean Old Ben Kenobi? But
obvious, actually, I did too.
Obvious reasons. Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's in every single one of the films. And he was portrayed well in all of them. And he's the same all the way throughout. I mean, his character never changes. And I guess that's why, you know, he's always been the mentor. He, you know, he took what Qui-Gon Jinn taught him.
But we got to see him go from being a young Padawan learner who was still brass and cocky and
exactly.
learning his way to becoming the teacher in the second one, to becoming the master in the third one, who has to make the ultimate decision and try to kill his friend because he's turned to the dark side. Mm-hmm. And then we see him as the mentor to Luke and everything in the sequels.
Even in death.
The original trilogy. Yeah.
And you know, when he was struck down, he became more powerful.
He's portrayed by the great Alec Guinness,
who, yeah.
one of our finest actors of our time.
And richest, as he took 2% of the profit of Star Wars.
Yes, it cost him. Number two, Frank?
Han Solo. Because he shot first.
All trigger happy.
No, okay. No, that's not because of that. No, it's because he's a scoundrel with a heart of gold. You know that? He got his money. He could have ran away. But he said, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to stand up for my principles. That's what I was about. And that's what I'm going to continue to be about. If you go back to the cannon that they threw out the window, you know, he decided, I'm going to go back to being who I was to begin with. And I'm going to stand up and do something right. And I have a badass ship to do it in. I got a big hairy buddy. And we're going to kick some Empire's ass and help blow up a Death Star.
And eat some chimichangas while we're at it.
I was like, yeah, what is that?
Yeah. Get the chimis chewy.
And my number two, I have Luke Skywalker. For a lot of the reasons y'all said already, the adventuresome of him, the young man finding his way, wanting to become a Jedi Knight, and we got to see him grow throughout the three movies to this young farm boy who was just adventurous to, in episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, we see him... his first struggles and his first battles as he finds out who Darth Vader is, mm-hmm. to becoming the role of the Jedi in Return of the Jedi and bringing, like Frank said, balance to the Force, and or you said, one of you guys said, and just following the path of Luke in the original trilogy. So, we've done our top 10. We've done some honorable mentions. We've got our big number ones. And we're going to start, Matt, with you. Your number one character in the Star Wars universe.
I looked over at yours, Frank. It's the same one. Darth Vader. He was the prophecy. He was the chosen one. He brought balance to the Force in the end by killing the Emperor.
Even with the wimpy, oh no! Yeah, they added to the Blu-rays. They added to the Blu-rays.
And, you know, he's just bad A. I mean, you know, they try to backtalk him. He force chokes you. It's like... Hokey religions. Let me just take that thorax.
So, Frank, since Matt ruined your number one for you, he said you had Darth Vader also. Some of the same reasons?
Yes, but my number one reason why Darth Vader was my number one character. No other character in all of Star Wars, when they first appeared on the screen, made you go, holy crap, that's a badass.
It's true.
I'm sorry. From the moment he walks... in between all the stormtroopers and appears on the screen.
And James Earl Jones.
Your eyes light up. But yeah, but you light up as a kid and you see this massive, awesome outfit and you are like, holy crap.
And have you ever seen the Vader Chronicles?
And it still does that to me. And it still does that to me whenever I watch Star Wars. I still love that scene. It brings out the kid in me when I see Vader first appear on the screen compared to any other character.
Epic.
Mark, yours?
I don't even know if I can top that. I'd see Frank sitting on the floor like a little kid going, yeah! I have Han Solo at number one. Mostly because I think Han was like that guy I always wanted to be. I wanted to be the bad boy.
You shoot
but
first?
But I wasn't. I was a dork. Still am, you know? But I wanted to be that bad boy scoundrel type, you know? I always wanted to be like the guy that'd be like, hey, babe, you want to ride in my Millennium Falcon? You know?
But, well, you did shoot first, and your aim was spot on, buddy.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's right. Yeah, two kids that y'all probably hear in the background on the show because we're having a strange recording session. But I like Han. I just think he's cool. And he's Harrison Ford, one of my all-time favorite actors. I mean, the guy is Rick Decker. He's Indiana Jones. He's Jack Ryan. He's Han freaking Solo. And we've talked before about it. There's one celebrity you can meet that you might... Frank swears he would never get all giddy about one, but there's one that someone has, and Harrison Ford would be one for me. Like,
no, I already said
what,
that.
What would I say to Harrison
Ford?
Like,
was my one.
Hi, you know, hi, Harrison. You know, even though I've heard he's like the nicest guy, I've talked to people that met him, said he's just real down to earth, really cool. As long as you catch him in the right mood, I've heard that Harrison can be a little grumpy. You know, if he's in the right mood, he's really cool. But now, there's so many great characters in the Star Wars universe. We didn't talk about Mace Windu.
Oh yeah.
We didn't count Dooku. Emperor Palpatine, which, yes, they're evil characters, but they're important.
Oh, man, how do I leave out Emperor Palpatine?
There's just so many that we didn't talk about. I know Jar Jar's probably on no one's favorite list, but I know a lot of children like him, a lot of kids like him. Who else is there that I'm leaving off? There's just so many great ones.
Grievous, General Grievous.
The bounty hunters, Bosk and Dengar and Greedo. We mentioned IG-88 earlier, you know, that and Zuckuss and Forlom, the robot, you know. The different bounty hunters. Asajj Ventress. From Star Wars.
Dash.
Dash Rendar from Shadows of the Empire. Prince Zizor from Shadows of the Empire. You know, a Galen Starkiller from The Force Unleashed.
All of them.
The list goes on and on and on. Great characters have been created in this universe with different importances and different things. And as we move forward to Star Wars The Force Awakens, where will Finn lie in this? Or Rey? Or Kylo Ren? You know, or Captain Phasma, or Poe Dameron, all these new characters we're being introduced to here in a few weeks when the film hits. We may do this list again a year from now when Rogue One comes out as we get ready for that Star Wars film, and we have new characters that we're being introduced to that will be added into this list. Right. You know? I mean, it just goes on and on.
It's going to be harder and harder to find a top 10.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You sit here and you think of...
But Vader will still be my number one.
Like, earlier in the year, we did a list of our favorite action heroes of all time.
Love you, Vader.
I think all of us had Han Solo somewhere on our list of action characters. But, you know, this is just Star Wars, and it's hard to do a list. And these characters transcend time and the importance of film that, as we mentioned on the last show, The Expanding Universe, Star Wars has become its own genre. In a way, and this shows why. Just so many great characters. And as we move forward on the road to The Force Awakens, we're going to be talking more Star Wars on the next show. We're going to be ranking the films, but before we're done here today, we're going to talk a little bit about the new Captain America Civil War trailer hit this week, a little bit of Star Wars Rebels, and the latest going on in The Walking Dead here on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
There was something else going on in Jedi. Never noticed it till today. They built another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where credit's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments of Lando Calrissian.
Something just never sat right with me that second time around. I could never put my finger on it, but something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out.
The first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army. The only people on board were stormtroopers, dignitaries, Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even done being built yet. It was still under construction.
So?
So a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I bet they brought independent contractors in on that thing. Plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
Not just Imperials. Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. In order to get it built quickly and quietly, they'd hire anybody that can do the job. I think the average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main. All they know is killing in white uniforms.
All right, so they bring in independent contractors. Why are you so upset at its destruction?
All those innocent contractors brought in to do the job were killed. Casualties of a war they had nothing to do with. All right, look. You're a roofer. Some juicy government contract comes your way. You got a wife and kids, the two-story in suburbia. This is a government contract, which means all sorts of benefits. Along come these left-wing militants and blast everything within a 3-mile radius with their lasers. You didn't ask for that. You have no personal politics. You're just trying to scrape out a living.
Hey, it's Alfonso Berry. Listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
So we've been talking the road to The Force Awakens these last few episodes of the Rebel Radio Podcast, which you can find at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook. And you can find all our Twitters attached onto the website there, and Instagram and Pinterest and all these other wonderful social media things. And it, we asked last time, and I noticed we got a couple 5-star reviews on iTunes. And please go on, take a minute, hit the iTunes link on the Rebel Radio Podcast page on TrustMeJedi.com and leave us a quick review. That really helps out the show a lot. And if you ever have any ideas or suggestions or things you want to say for the show, leave them on our Facebook or email us at trustmeimajedi2009@gmail.com. So, we're done with Star Wars for this episode, as we talked our favorite characters, but the road to the Force Awakens continues, as we're a few weeks away. But right now, we're going to talk about a big trailer that hit this week. We all knew it was coming. People expected to air in front of Star Wars The Force Awakens. And Disney sort of dropped one late Wednesday, was it late Tuesday night on us on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. We get the Captain America Civil War trailer. We wake up Wednesday morning, it's all over the internet. Bam! We have a new trailer for the next big Marvel film, Captain America Civil War, or as I like to call it, Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you guys, y'all texted me early that morning, oh, I saw the new Avengers trailer, Frank at 11:30 at night, when we're already asleep. It's like, damn it, Frank, we're sleeping.
I actually caught it on Kimmel.
My initial thoughts on it were, it's funny, because there was this battle a year ago about Captain America and Batman vs. Superman coming out the same day in May. And who was going to move dates? Warner Brothers and DC just say, you know what, we're going to move our film up. We've been working on the film for 3 years. We're just going to do it. They didn't make it into a competition. They just said, we'll be the big boys here. We'll move our movie up. It wasn't really a matter, I don't think. Was there room at the box office for two movies? I think so. People would have gone and seen both. It might have been the biggest box office weekend ever. You could have had two films come out that weekend that both made $130 million. It would have been epic. But they chose to move. So I think, in a way, Captain America Civil War and Batman vs. Superman are going to be talked about in the same sentence for a little while. So that being said, my first initial reaction to the Captain America Civil War trailer, I was a little underwhelming. I felt the Batman vs. Superman trailer is better at this point. Granted, the Captain America Civil War trailer is just a teaser. And that's not saying I didn't like the trailer. Some people say what I think about it, felt it was underwhelming. That doesn't mean I didn't like it. Everyone knows, if we talked on the show before, that Winter Soldier is one of my favorite Marvel films they've done so far, right up there with Guardians of the Galaxy. I loved Captain America, The Winter Soldier. So I have every faith that the Russo brothers are going to bring us another great sequel. And it had some cool moments, and those were my initial reaction. But before we get to those cool moments, your guys' initial reactions to the Civil War trailer.
Man, you know, seeing that end credit scene in Ant-Man where, you know, the Winter Soldier is just locked up, it's cool to see what happened afterwards.
And that was the cool thing about the way the trailer starts. It's like, well, this is like right from the Ant-Man thing at the end.
Me, I had two moments. Of course, the scene that you see at the end of the trailer. But mine was, you got to see Black Panther.
Well, yeah, no, we're going to get to the moments in a minute. But what was your initial reaction to the trailer?
I liked it.
When you saw it?
I actually thought it was pretty cool. It kind of got me a little bit excited for it. You know, kind of wishing it was 2016 for another reason, because I would have already seen Star Wars by now. But then we would have been rolling into, of course, you know, this movie and the Batman versus Superman movie.
Yeah, and you're right, and Deadpool. And you're right, though. Yeah. Black Panther was one of the cool moments for me for the trailer. I was like, well, it's cool to finally see Black Panther. Part of my thing is with the Marvel films is they've done some stuff that's taken from the comic books, right? But they've been loose adaptions of these characters. And they're doing that with Civil War, too. And I'm not a huge fan of the hero versus hero thing. I know Batman versus Superman is apparently hero versus hero. And it's like I was talking to somebody at work. That feels a little different because it's the first time we're getting Batman and Superman on screen together. Where with the Marvel films, we've had Captain America and Iron Man and them on screen together. So it's not like it's the first time we're seeing them together. And at the end of the day, we know they're going to kiss and make up and go have drinks together. You know, well, Captain America doesn't really drink. But, you know, because there's just not a lot of drama to it for me in the calling the movie Civil War and having Iron Man and Captain America go at it with each other. Will it be cool? Will it be neat on screen? Yes, the scene where Winter Soldier and Captain are beating down Iron Man in the trailer is pretty cool. But it's just, I don't know. I wish they would have gone a little bit different route in this Marvel universe of films. But, again, I'm not saying I'm going to hate it. I'm willing to see how it plays out.
Favorite moment in the trailer? Seeing, obviously, it's Winter Soldier versus War Machine. And then we see War Machine lying on, like, leaning on Tony, you know, just...
Now you're laying on his backside all beat the hell up.
And his arc reactor is ripped off. And early in the trailer, you see Winter Soldier taking his metal arm and squeezing that arc reactor. So I can't wait to see that. Obviously,
man, I missed a lot because you must have slowed that shit down frame to frame.
Heck yeah, I watched it like 10 times, man.
And there was some really cool stuff in it, like seeing Falcon is back in this one. And like, the reason I said it's Avengers 2.5 is because, I mean, it was cool to see William Hurt back as General Thunderbolt Ross at the yes. beginning of the trailer. So you're tying it together with the Incredible Hulk. But, I mean, you look at who's in this. Black Panther, the Falcon. We know Ant-Man makes an appearance in it. Hawkeye's in it. Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson can be in every Marvel movie for yes. as far as I'm concerned. Iron Man. Captain America. Am I leaving anyone out? The Winter Soldier. You know, I mean, you've yeah. got...
But bring up who's not in it.
Crossbones.
Crossbones in it. Scarlet Witch is in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who we were introduced to in Age of Ultron. So you're talking 10 to 12 characters, and that's why it's almost like Avengers 2.5.
And then, of course, you got to mention who's not in it. We're missing two Avengers.
Well, Thor's went back to off the, and that's one thing. I think I have a feeling that Thor Ragnarok, as they're calling it, is going to kind of take place parallel to this, similar to Wave One. In Wave Two, where Dark World and Winter Soldier were going on at the same time
as different Iron parts. Man
3. I guess that's why you can also call it Avengers 2.0, because like not all the members of the Avengers are actually there.
Well, yeah, and one of the producers, Kevin Feige, came out and said that you're supposed to look at these like comics. Where were the other Avengers helping Thor when the Dark Elves were trying to destroy the world? The idea is that
Iron Man's
off doing his thing, Captain America's doing his thing, and it's all going at the same time.
And Iron Man, you know, none of the other Avengers are there helping him with everything. So, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like it's happening all at the same right. time. Or so, close to the same time.
The movie's coming out in May. It was just a teaser trailer. I'm sure we'll see it in theaters here in front of Star Wars Force Awakens, being that is Disney. And Marvel owns Disney owns Marvel also.
Now, what'd be great is that's just the teaser trailer. They give us a full trailer in front of the movie.
And we're also going to be talking. Bryan Singer has already confirmed that the X-Men Apocalypse trailer will be in front of Star Wars. So we're getting that trailer here in a few weeks also. People forget that. I mean, you look at the comic book movies next year. Just between January and May is Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, Captain America, and X-Men Apocalypse. Four major comic book films in the first half of the year next year.
Damn.
So, you know, it's all happening. It's going to be really cool.
Loaded.
So that's the Captain America Winter Soldier trailer. That was the big news this week. It was a surprise, a happy surprise. It was kind of a Thanksgiving treat here. So, we move on. The Walking Dead. We've been kind of recapping the show here on these weekly Star Wars shows for you. We find out real quick what was up with Glenn in the first 5 minutes of the show. And
he lives!
As predicted, he was still alive. He somehow... It's funny. Every dumpster I've ever seen, he's usually flat on the ground. But this dumpster just happens to be on wheels and just have enough room for a little
just big enough Glenn wheels.
To get through there.
And have a knife fight with some zombies.
Yes, he knife fights some... yeah, he was able to move his arms enough to knife some zombies.
I don't know how that happened, but...
So Glenn lives. We still don't find out who said help on the walkie-talkie.
Right.
You know, and...
But obviously it wasn't him.
But he meets back up with the girl. Her name is escaping me. Edith. And she's kind of a bee to him. And he follows her, and they try to get out of the town and somehow find a way to signal Rick and the people at Alexandria. And in the meantime, Rick's got stuff going on at Alexandria. He's trying to keep the community together. They're trying to figure out a way to get the zombies away from the wall. When Diana's son goes and tries to do something stupid and tries to go across the wall. And Rick kind of snaps and kind of yells at, what's her name? There's so many characters. It's like,
I know who you're talking about.
The lesbian chick.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't think of her name. And he's like, well, what'd you do that for? She's like, yells back at Rick, you know?
Yeah.
And all
she flicks him off.
Yeah, she flips him off. And all this is going on where they keep showing camera shots of the church tower boards falling off. And there's a reason for that. And as we know, that reason was the ending of this episode.
Yep. That darn preacher again. He's trying to sabotage everything.
What does the preacher have to do with the
thing? It's the church tower. I know he has something to do with it.
He has something the church tower comes crashing down at the end,
but
in Walking Dead style, to be continued.
Now, hang on. But you also don't bring up another thing.
Carl?
Thing with Carl. That kid that...
Oh, that kid's going to do something stupid. You know what's going to happen.
But he looked like he was going to pop Carl from behind before the tower came down. He went in there and he grabbed the bullets.
Right.
He loaded a gun, put it in his pants, and started walking behind Carl... And then it cuts to the scene where the church tower comes down.
I'm not worried about Carl. Carl's going to kill that kid.
No, but there is in the comic, when right before Carl gets there, I can't remember if it happened right before he got to Alexandria or it happened when he got there. Carl loses an eye in the book. He gets shot straight through it. He loses an eye. He survives. And I'm wondering if they're going to do that in the show, where Carl loses an eye.
Well, we know he's not going to die because Carl outlives Rick. And I don't think that...
How do you know he outlives Rick?
He outlives Rick.
How do you know that? The book hasn't gone that far yet.
Oh,
he does. They call him One Eye Carl?
One Eye Carl. Oh, yeah.
You know something about The Walking Dead we don't? That he outlives Rick?
I do.
Have you talked to Robert Kirkman?
I have. You know, whenever I've had my special grass, you know, play some Bob Marley.
Okay. I got lost. So, yes, the crazy kid going to do something stupid probably. So, by the time y'all hear this episode, the season finale will have aired. And we will talk about it in a future episode. But it's going to be interesting to see how... The mid-season finale. Because we still have eight more episodes.
And then the very long wait before it comes back on, as usual.
In February. And so we've got the mid-season finale of Walking Dead coming up. The Walking Dead has been known for killing off characters in these mid-season finales, end-of-the-year finales. In fact, last year's Walking Dead finale was the first episode where a main character didn't die. Remember, Rick kills the guy at Alexandria, but no main character died. And it's been a while since we've lost a main character on the show. So it's probably something's going to happen this Sunday. Get your tissues ready, you know.
Can I say, let's take a vote. Who do you think is
going
to die?
I think the preacher or Carol. And the reason I say Carol is because she's long been going in the books. And I'm wondering if it's getting to that point where they end up taking Carol out. I don't know why. I have this strange feeling.
Maggie.
I don't see Maggie.
Another Lori situation. Well, she's not as far along as Lori, but I could see that.
It's possible. And I obviously,
because we find out that she's pregnant, we're rooting for her and Glenn. Glenn lives. She sees Glenn. They run to each other, and then a zombie gets her.
Oh, I could see that.
And then she's laying there bleeding.
But she
looks at Glenn and tells Glenn, I don't want to be one of them. And I have your baby. Now kill me. And he has to.
The only thing is they did last year, in last year's mid-season finale, they killed Beth.
Oh, yeah.
So we did have a female last year in the mid-season finale. So maybe they'll do a different route this year. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe they don't kill anybody. Maybe we're just thinking they're going to kill someone. But from what Norman Reedus said, he's already made comments like, you know, get your tissues ready. And Norman usually doesn't lie. So, you know, something.
Or maybe at the end, they just release 99 red balloons.
99
suits. So we'll see when the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead airs. And like I said, by the time y'all hear this, y'all will have already seen it. So we'll already know. So maybe we were right on and y'all are listening and saying, man, those guys know things. Or maybe not.
Just a little.
No, they listen to the show and say, this guy's all new Jack.
So another show that we've been watching and we talk about during these Road to the Force Awakens is Star Wars Rebels. And I wanted to come back to this because, Frank, during our top 10 earlier in the show, you mentioned that Chopper was your, I think, number 8 or 9 on your list. Because he's become such a fun droid in the series in such a short time. And this episode had one of the greatest Chopper moments ever.
Ever.
On the show. As Kanan...
The dirty rat.
As Kanan and Rex are trying to rescue Ezra from the Imperials, they disguise themselves as stormtroopers. And there's some funny moments where the armor doesn't fit Rex quite right. It's a very humorous episode. And as they're trying to rescue him, Ezra has no problem getting out on his own because he's starting to get some confidence in his abilities of learning the Force. He manages to escape the stormtroopers himself, and he comes around the corner, and Rex and Kanan come around the corner running, and Ezra shoots both of them with stun. And they fall, and they wake up, they're like, what happened? I don't know. And Ezra's like, oh, man, y'all were awesome. Y'all fought, and y'all beat all those guys. And they're like, oh, really, they're good? And what does Chopper do, Frank?
Rats him out with the hologram.
He shows a hologram of Ezra shooting Kanan and Rex, and they're like, oh, man, you shot us. This is a really funny moment in the show.
He's like, well, I told him not to put the thing on stun. I said to put it for kill. And he's like, and then what's his name? He's like, these uniforms don't protect you from anything.
Yeah.
They're useless.
So it kind of made fun of the stormtroopers and the armor fitting right. It kind of made fun of the armor working. Mm-hmm. It was just a really funny moment in the show. And just one of the better moments on the show so far, I thought. And the show, again, continues just every week be amazing. It's funny because I remember we go back to Dave Filoni as we talked earlier about how he's made these characters fit into the universe so well. And they talked about how he wanted every episode of Rebels to have a big moment. Yeah. And it does. Every episode has a big moment. This one, we got to see Ezra using his powers to escape. You know, they had every episode has that Star Wars moment in it.
Right. All I can say is if the stormtroopers would have gotten the 501 to make their stormtroopers outfits, then they would have held up.
They don't have Earth resources. They have,
right. You know, but the 501 would have made some badass stormtrooper uniforms for the Imperial.
Yeah, so the Captain America Winter Soldier trailer, if you haven't seen it, it's on TrustMeMajaya.com. The Walking Dead, you know, hopefully you're caught up on it. We probably should have mentioned that there might have been some spoilers there, but, you know, it happens.
If you ain't watched The Walking Dead by now.
Yeah, we're recording this a week after the episode aired, so. And Star Wars Rebels, again, we can't preach that show enough. If you haven't watched Star Wars Rebels, take the time to watch it. Just because it's on Disney, don't just dismiss it as a kid show. It's a really excellently done cartoon. And the winner last year of our Best Animated Television Series on the 2014 Jedi Awards. And we're getting ready soon for the 2015 Jedi Awards, which we'll be bringing you at the end of December on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
How much time? 30 seconds.
You are.
I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.com.
So we are exactly 3 weeks away from Star Wars The Force Awakens here on the Rebel Radio Podcast as we continue the road to The Force Awakens, and we hope you enjoy listening to what our favorite Star Wars characters were as we counted down our favorites, and there were so many to go over, it's just very difficult to pinpoint a list, and maybe you can go to the Facebook page for TrustMeOnMyJedi.com and tell us who your favorites were, or the Twitter account, which is at TMIAJ, and let us know what you thought were your favorite characters. We also talked about the Captain America Winter Soldier,
Civil War.
A little bit about the latest happenings in The Walking Dead and Star Wars Rebels. And one more quick note, Wonder Woman started filming.
That's right.
Gal Gadot, I guess that's how you say her last name, released the first photo of her in the robe. Looks great. You know, I think she's going to do fine in the role. I know there's been some talk about she's too small or whatever. But I think she'll be good in the role. And I think it is interesting that DC is pushing this film to try to get, you know, everyone wants these female-centric superhero films. And, you know, Marvel has pushed back Captain Marvel now, apparently. Supergirl has just come on the television, has been doing fairly well. And now they're getting the Wonder Woman film in theaters in 2017, I think is when it's coming out. So, you know, DC's trying to be that first to get that female-centric superhero film out. We'll see how it goes. Real quick, have y'all watched Supergirl? I've watched a couple of episodes. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh, it feels too networky for me. One thing I like about the CW and the Arrow and the Flash shows is they can be a little bit more fun with it, a little bit darker at times. Where CBS, it just feels like they're trying too hard to be a network show. And, yeah. And the plot holes in it are ridiculous. You know, okay, the very first episode, you have these Kryptonians around the planet, and he shows up to fight Kara, and she says, like, just wait till my cousin helps me out. And he's like, well, it'd be an honor to fight him. Okay, if it's an honor to fight him, why have you been sitting here waiting for her to show up? Why didn't you go to Metropolis and fight him, you wuss?
But my thing is Kal-El knew that they were all on the planet. Why did he not go? Why hasn't he done nothing in the last five years or whatever?
Melissa Benoist, who's playing Supergirl, is beautiful. She's one reason to watch the show. But overall, I'm just not jiving on it too much. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather watch Arrow or The Flash, you know.
And to me, I don't know. Maybe I gotta go watch a couple episodes, but it seems like they got last week's episode and this week's episode flip-flopped.
Well, no, they canceled an episode because of the Paris attacks.
Okay.
So that's probably why.
So, yeah because they seemed out of order.
Yeah.
Because in this episode, spoiler alert, he was broken up with his girlfriend, but then the episode before that, they went off vacation.
They redid some stuff because of the things that happened in Paris. So, and, you know, Supergirl, that's your thing.
Another strong female comic book character premiered as well, Jessica Jones.
Oh, yes, Jessica Jones. We will talk about that more in a future episode. you know, Matt and I have kids, so it's something you can't watch when the kids are awake. Frank, it's a little easier for you to watch it. So we'll get through it, and we will talk about Jessica Jones at some point in the future. I'm 3 episodes in. Have you watched any yet, Matt?
I have not.
And I know you watched a couple, Frank. It's very good. It's very different than Daredevil.
It's very dark.
Very adult. Absolutely the most adult thing that Marvel's done. Daredevil was adult in a different way because it was a crime saga and had a little violence in it.
Yeah.
But it was still more like PG 15, 16 than even rated R. Right. You know, this is hard rated R.
And
do not
dark.
Let the kids watch Jessica Jones. And it's interesting. I'm not.
But you need to watch it.
I'm not liking it as much as I like Daredevil so far, but I'm only 3 episodes in. We'll see. One thing I do have to say, in 3 episodes, though, that I've watched, they have made the Purple Man, Kilgrave, extremely evil and creepy without even really getting to know him. And they have done a good job of that.
You've actually seen him fully.
Briefly in the third episode.
At the end of the second episode.
No. Well, it'll be, but you don't really see him. You see him walk in the room, you see his legs. You don't really see his face until the third episode.
Maybe I'm 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
Eyes without a face.
So, those are some other happenings that are going on. And again, we thank you for always listening to the show and supporting us. Remember, you can find all your happenings at TrustMeOnTheJedi.com. As the Road to the Force Awakens continues for at least 1 or 2 more episodes on the podcast. And also listen to the Warp Cave with the evil Dr. Tran. He's doing some film retrospectives and some commentaries for the Star Wars saga on his show. And you can find links to his show at TrustMeOnTheJedi.com or at thewarpcave.com where his show is. And you got anything else? That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, if you're building a space station and there's a 2-meter-wide, you know, shaft that basically, you know, blows the whole thing, put some plywood over it, you know?
Why not? Okay.
Spend the extra money to put a little more plywood over
that.
Well,
does this have to do anything?
You know,
other than you wanted to use the word shaft and blow in the same sentence.
Pretty.
He knows how to cut to the heart of me, people.
And...
and... this has been the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
It's your host, Mark. Until next time, from a galaxy far, far away.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it. ¶¶